Wednesday, 10 February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for tuning in to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is a ministry sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. And I'm Bill Wingard, the privileged man to be able to share with you the Word of God on this broadcast. And I thank God for each of you who listen, especially those of you who are so faithful with us. For those of you just joining in, we are looking at Ezekiel chapter 8, where the Lord takes Ezekiel, the Spirit of the Lord does, brings him back to Jerusalem and shows him why he, that's God, had to turn Israel and Judah into captivity. They would be there for 70 long years. And dear friend, if we read the scripture correctly, and I believe we do, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, these things are written for our admonition, they're there for our example. The same things that got Israel and Judah into trouble that caused God to have to send them into captivity are the very same problems that can cause the same holy God to chastise us, to chasten us, to have to bring us into judgment. I'm not speaking about the great white throne judgment. If we're saved by the grace of God, we'll not have to stand to be judged at the great white throne judgment. We will appear at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will give an account for that which we have done, whether it be good or bad. Lord, do bless us with thy word. Speak to my heart, the hearts of all of our listeners, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And I was thinking before preaching this broadcast, you know, my desire is not just to share knowledge with you, though I like to share the precious word of God. My heart's desire is that this scripture, which is living, for the word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. My desire is that the Word of God will bring us to action that will cause us to repent of any sin in our life and to live for our Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, we saw in Galatians chapter 5 what the works of the flesh are. They're enumerated. And we were starting out, as we had to close our broadcast on yesterday, the last broadcast, that we'll be looking at the sins that are listed in 5 of the 7 churches in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. The letters were to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Two of these churches did not have to be rebuked. 5 of them did. I believe with all my heart that these 5 churches were local churches, and also that they represent different segments of the church age, having started at Pentecost. I'll not fuss with you about when the church began, but I believe with all my heart it was activated in Acts chapter 2, and it will continue. The church age will continue until the rapture of the church in Revelation chapter 4. So we are now in the church age, and we have the letters to these 7 churches. Now let me say something else about these churches. They were literal. I think they also represent a segment of the church age, and I believe they're in chronological order. But let me say that the sins that these churches had to be rebuked for, I believe they were also accumulative. Let me tell you what I mean by that. As we study these different churches, or at least we read about them, and we'll see, for instance, that the church at Ephesus had left their first love. And then when we come down to the next church that he has to rebuke, they've got a particular problem, and the next one's got a particular problem. Well, those problems are not just unique in the problems that's mentioned there, but usually they pick up, I believe, an accumulation that had started back with the church at Ephesus, and so you just kind of add on another problem with sin. And then when we come down to the Laodicean church age, where I'm convinced we are today, that's the last church age before the coming of our Lord, we're dealing with all these problems. We're dealing with every one of them. And again, Lord, please, O God, empower us to preach, give us power to preach, stir hearts for thee, we pray, Oh, that folks be saved and Christians live for thee. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go ahead. Now, you have your Bibles, and some of you can, some of you cannot. You're traveling or working. And beginning in verse 1 of chapter 2, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Well, we know who that is from Revelation 1. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We know what they are. They are the churches, the seven golden candlesticks of the churches. Now, here's what he says. He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Wow! What a testimony for the church at Ephesus. Listen to it again, dear friend. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. And then comes this word, nevertheless. Nevertheless. In spite, not because of now, but in spite of all these good things that Christ Jesus could say about the church at Ephesus, here's what he had to rebuke them for. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what was their first love? I believe their first love was the Lord Jesus Christ. Their faithfulness to him, their love for him, their desire to serve him. How many times have we seen this in churches? Well, let me just take my own life here, and maybe you would evaluate your own. When we first got saved, man, you remember how much we were in love with the Lord? You remember how we wanted to talk about him? And anybody would listen, and those that would not listen, we were talking to them about the Lord, and we were trying to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you just couldn't shut us up. We were just building a head of steam, so to speak. The Holy Spirit was in our lives, and we were talking about this wonderful Savior that had saved us. Now, I realize that we still talk about him, but I'm afraid that too often we don't have the love. We don't have the glow. We don't have the thrill in our heart that we had when we first got saved. Well, you say, preacher, that's natural. That's normal. Well, dear friend, it might be natural and normal, but it's not right. Now, sure, it's kind of like a marriage. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ likens his church to be his bridegroom. And he likens a husband with his wife like Christ with his bride. And when we first met our wives-to-be, boy, you know how excited we got. And we were married and we had those honeymoons and what a wonderful time they were. And yes, we might not act as excited now as we did then, but hopefully our love has deepened and we have a greater love for our wives. We have a greater love, I trust, for our husbands than we have ever had before. But, dear friend, if our love has grown cold toward our wives, if our love has gone cold toward our husbands, if we have left that love, then, dear friend, we got real troubles in our life. And the same thing is true in our Christian lives as well. Oh, may God help us to have hot hearts for God. May there be a holy excitement as we go into the local church looking for God to do great things in the lives of his people and to reach the lost as well. Somebody asked D.L. Moody one time, how was it that after he had been saved so long, he still was so excited? And he said, well, I've just never lost the wonder of it all. Somebody wrote a song about that. I have never lost the wonder of it all. May we not lose the wonder of it all. Now, this broadcast is targeted for our midweek. I hope you're making plans to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church, if at all possible. And I want to say to those of you in prison that are listening, God bless you. Some of you have churches within the walls, and I'm glad for that. Some of you cannot get out. Some are on beds of affliction. Some are working. If you cannot get into a good fundamental Bible-believing church this midweek time, and if you have access to the Internet, please join us. Our services are at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can reach us at www.calvapt.org. www.calbapt.org. And please join us next broadcast if you can.